Several years back when our children were really young, like Keegan age up to Jaden age. Okay, there's just directly to you, Carrie. Kind of like that part right there. Well, we went camping with some friends who also had young children. We camped several times at high tide, you know, really close to here. I think this one was not at high tide. It might have been a Maple Hill or somewhere close. There's a Maple Park or not Maple Park up north, but now it's Maple something. There's a campground within about 15 miles of here that we went to. I think it was that one. Not positive. But we camped. You know, two young couples with young kids. We cooked outdoors. We swam in the lake. We went hiking. And, of course, we had a campfire. And I love campfires. Always have. This particular campfire was very memorable. My wife and I had not my wife and I, because I know that I'm the best at making campfires. No, but it was my friend and my wife. They had this like friendly banter going on as to who could make the best campfire. Like, I can make the campfire better. No, I can make the campfire better. Well, you should see what I can do. And there's this rivalry. And it was all friendly, but you could still see that they were competitive about it. And then I don't remember exactly how it happened, but at some point during that, early on in the fire, I think Cassie was stoking the fire, and I think some wood sort of popped a little bit, and a coal jumped out of the fire and landed right in between where the fabric goes and where the ankle is on my friend's shoe. And he didn't have socks on. So hot coal right into the shoe. And, the look on my friend's face showed obvious pain. I mean, you got a hot coal in your ankle. And the necessary words that he uttered as he jumped and tried to remove the coal from his shoe, they were quite creative, the string of words that got put together. How many ways can you combine profanity to express excruciating pain kind of a way? Nowadays, I think of Mark Twain's quote. Here's what Mark Twain actually said. This is a great quote from him. He said, "Under certain circumstances, urgent circumstances, desperate circumstances, profanity provides a relief denied even to prayer." If you've ever been in circumstances where it just seems that's all you can do, yeah, sometimes that's the way it feels. And to Mark Twain, it certainly did. To my friend, it certainly did. Having burning coals lodged between your shoe fabric and your bare ankle is painful. I haven't felt that, but my friend did. We were visiting with those friends recently, in the last probably 8 weeks, and the ankle scar is still visible. We still laugh about it now, but it was painful, and you can still see the look on his face that's somewhat painful remembering that. Now, my friend, he put together a pretty creative string of cuss words, yes, as he was in pain. Some of the words actually probably sounded like prayer words, similar names that we use in prayer, you know, kind of like that. They weren't prayer words. They just kind of came out there. But, you know, my friend never acted unkind. He was just in pain, you know, and he's jumping around. We helped him to clean the wounds. We helped him to bandage it. The rest of the camp out was still fun. His words provided him some relief from his pain, though. But they weren't directed at anyone. It's just like Mark Twain says, sometimes it just provides relief. We went to church today, and the pastor told us it was okay to swear and use cuss words when we're really, really mad. Well, raise your hand if you've never, ever done that. Yeah. Oh, no, this is the Sunday where there are kids in church. Carrie's looking at me like, no. Okay, grown-ups. Yeah. Look at, I'm making Debbie chuckle today. They were just a way to communicate, ow, and to help his body release some pain-relieving adrenaline, really, or something like that. There's something to the exclamations that our body needs to help us through certain situations. And pain hurts. When folks are in pain, it's also nice to know that someone cares. My friend knew that someone cared because we attended to him. And there's a similar theme. There's not a theme about profanity in today's reading, but there's a theme about caring for people when they're in pain. Or just caring. Like it says, weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Love one another with mutual affection. Live in harmony with each other. I know it says, as much as you're able. But really, it does say live in harmony with one another. Even if you're in a hotel room and there are three others and stuff is, after a while, it's like, talk to Debbie, right? As much as possible, right? Try to outdo one another in doing good. Have a competition in giving compliments, right? Like that. Also, remember that you're no better, and then it doesn't say it, but I think it means it, or worse than anyone else. And we may not always follow those words, but they're really, really good words. I mean, right up there with love God and love everyone, these are really good words of advice for how to live. If we would all strive to live these words, I think that, well, everything would be better. The world would not be perfect, but it would be better if we would just pay attention to those. But, you know, there's also some harder stuff in the reading. Those are weep with those who weep, live in harmony. I mean, it's not easy, but those are things that you can look at and say, well, yeah, that's a good idea. I get that, and I want to try to do that. But there's also don't repay evil for evil. And bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. And if your enemy is hungry, give them food. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. And that's harder because we live in a world where I'll get you back. And how dare they say that? And I guess we'll have to bomb you to make you listen. That brings about more anger than it does anything else, doesn't it? But those seem to be the followed rules. Even if they're not what we profess to say as people of the church, as people of the United States, as people of the world. Maybe we don't want to say that, but it's just how we act. It doesn't match at all not repaying evil for evil or blessing those who persecute you. It doesn't match at all with giving your hungry or thirsty enemy food and water. And there's that bit at the end of the reading. It says, for by doing this you will heap burning coals on their heads. I am positive that it doesn't mean you take hot coals out of a fire and pour it over someone's head. But you can imagine it's startling. It's painful. It gets your attention. Startling, unnerving, probably profanity-inducing kindness that changes relationships. This is similar to what Abraham Lincoln said when he said, do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friends? Or what one of our youth, is he going to raise his hand? Hey, Brad. What one of our youth said not too long ago, if we love our enemies, then how are they enemies? What a great question. Such a great thought. And today's Bible reading is filled with great thoughts. So many, in fact, that there's got to be another way to remember it. And it's not one of these, you know, 10-word things like the Ten Commandments or anything like that, but it's some good advice that is ever so nice, and that rhymes. And so when I thought, good advice that is ever so nice, it sounds very bouncy and fun. And so with apologies to Ted Geisel or Dr. Seuss, or as he said it before people started telling him, you got to say it the other way, he called himself Dr. Seuss. But then he changed it to Seuss when everyone said it that way. Do you know that? A little bit of trivia. He said Seuss. But here we go. Here is good advice that is ever so nice with my apologies to Dr. Seuss. Keep your love real, not fake or pretend. Hold on to what's good and make a new friend. Have a contest about being nice to each other. Serve God and work hard for a sister or brother. Be happy in hope, and when bad things come your way, pray and pray and pray and pray. When folks are so nasty, bless them forever. No planning a way to hurt them, ever. When smiles are around, you smile too. Really try. And when tears are around, it's okay to cry. No better or worse than any. Don't keep score. Make friends with the folks others just tend to ignore. Do your best to be kind and gentle and pleasant. Don't try to get back at someone who isn't. If you're nice to an enemy, give food or a drink. It will first turn them mad, then happy, I think. Take this advice. Don't get in a rut. Find a way to do good. no matter what. So folks, be nice. I know you are, but it's just good advice, isn't it? Be nice. Don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen.